As we drove through the darkness, heading northwest out of town where the suburbs of West Palm Beach fade into sprawling country properties, I thought through our decision to bring home a dog. It was a huge responsibility, especially for two people with full-time jobs. Yet we knew what we were in for. We'd both grown up with dogs and loved them immensely. I'd had St. Sean, and Jenny had had St. Winnie, her family's beloved English setter. When we were dating, long before children ever came on our radar, we spent hours discussing our childhood pets, how much we missed them, and how we longed someday, once we had a house to call our own and some stability in our lives, to own a dog again. Now we had both. We were together in a place we did not plan to leave anytime soon, and we had a house to call our very own. It was a perfect little house on a perfect little quarter-acre fenced lot, just right for a dog. And the location was just right, too, a funky city neighborhood 1.5 blocks off the intercoastal waterway, separating West Palm Beach from the rarefied mansions of Palm Beach. At the foot of our street, Churchill Road, a linear green park and paved trail stretched for miles along the waterfront. It was ideal for jogging and bicycling and rollerblading, and more than anything, for walking a dog. The house was built in the 1950s and had an old Florida charm. A fireplace, rough plaster walls, big airy windows, and French doors leading to our favorite space of all, the screened back porch. The yard was a little tropical haven filled with palms and bromeliads and avocado. Dominating the property was a towering mango tree. Each summer it dropped its heavy fruit with loud thuds that sounded somewhat grotesquely, like bodies being thrown off the roof. We would lie awake in bed and listen. Thud, thud, thud. Once we got the joint just right, of course, it only made sense that we bring home a large, four-legged roommate with sharp toenails, large teeth, and exceedingly limited English language skills to start tearing it apart again. "Slow down, Dingo, or you're going to miss it," Jenny scolded. "It should be coming up any second." We were driving through inky blackness across what had once been swampland, drained after World War II for farming, and later colonized by suburbanites seeking a country lifestyle. Our headlights soon illuminated a mailbox marked with the address we were looking for. I turned up a gravel drive that led into a large wooded property with a pond in front of the house and a small barn out back. At the door, a middle-aged woman named Lori greeted us, a big, placid, yellow Labrador retriever by her side. "This is Lily, the proud mama," Lori said after we introduced ourselves. We both got on our knees, and she happily accepted our affection. She was just what we pictured a lab would be, sweet-natured, affectionate, calm, and breathtakingly beautiful. "Where's the father?" I asked. "Oh..." She hesitated for just a fraction of a second. "Sammy boy? He's around here somewhere. I imagine you're dying to see the puppies." She led us through the kitchen out to a utility room. In one corner was a low box lined with old beach towels and filled with 9 tiny yellow puppies, stumbling all over one another as they clamored to check out the latest strangers to drop by. Jenny gasped. "Oh, my! I don't think I've ever seen anything so cute in my life." We sat on the floor and let the puppies climb all over us. The deal I had struck with Jenny when I agreed to come was that we would check the pups out, ask some questions, and keep an open mind as to whether we were ready to bring home a dog. 30 seconds into it, there was no question that before the night was through, one of these puppies would be ours. Lori was a backyard breeder, motivated more by love of the breed than by profit. She owned just one female and one male. They had come from distinct bloodlines, and she had the paper trail to prove it. This would be Lily's second and final litter before she retired to the good life of a countrified family pet. The litter consisted of 5 females, all but one of which already had deposits on them, and 4 males. Lori was asking $400 for the remaining female and $375 for the males. One of the males seemed particularly smitten with us. He was the goofiest of the group and charged into us, somersaulting into our laps and clawing his way up our shirts to lick our faces. He gnawed on our fingers with surprisingly sharp baby teeth and stomped clumsy circles around us on giant, tawny paws that were way out of proportion to the rest of his body. "That one there, you can have for $3.50. Jenny is a rabid bargain hunter. I saw her eyes brighten. "Aw, honey, the little guy's on clearance." I had to admit, he was pretty darn adorable. Frisky, too. Before I realized what he was up to, the rascal had half my watch band chewed off. "We have to do the scare test," I said. Many times before, I had recounted for Jenny the story of picking out Sean when I was a boy. I stood up, turned away from the puppies, then swung quickly back around, taking a sudden, exaggerated step toward them. I stomped my foot and barked out, "Hey!" None seemed too concerned by this stranger's contortions. But only one plunged forward to meet the assault head-on. It was Clarence Dog. He plowed full steam into me, throwing a cross-body block across my ankles and pouncing at my shoelaces as though convinced they were dangerous enemies that needed to be destroyed. "I think it's fate," Jenny said. "You think?" I said, scooping him up and holding him in one hand in front of my face, studying his mug. He looked at me with heart-melting brown eyes and then nibbled my nose. I plopped him into Jenny's arms where he did the same to her. "He certainly seems to like us," I said. And so it came to be. We wrote Lori a check for $350, and she told us we could return to take Clarence Dog home with us in 3 weeks when he was 8 weeks old and weaned. Just as we were reaching the car, we heard a commotion coming from the woods. Something was crashing through the brush and breathing very heavily. It sounded like what you might hear in a slasher film. And it was coming our way. We froze, staring into the darkness. The sound grew louder and closer. Then in a flash, the thing burst into the clearing and came charging in our direction, a yellow blur. A very big yellow blur. As it galloped past, not stopping, not even seeming to notice us, we could see it was a large Labrador Retriever. But it was nothing like the sweet lily we had just cuddled with inside. This one was soaking wet and covered up to its belly in mud and burrs. Its tongue hung out wildly to one side, and froth flew off its jowls as it barreled past. In the split-second glimpse I got, I detected an odd, slightly crazed, yet somehow joyous gaze in its eyes. It was as though this animal had just seen a ghost and couldn't possibly be more tickled about it. Then, with the roar of a stampeding herd of buffalo, it was gone, around the back of the house and out of sight. Jenny let out a little gasp. "I think," I said, a slight queasiness rising in my gut, "we've just met Dad."